Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Worthy is the name. What name, church? What name, church?
Jesus.
What name breaks everything, church?
Jesus.
What's the name that saves, church?
Jesus.
Come on, you act like you don't know. You're acting like it's a question. What's the name above all names?
Jesus.
We're here to honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're here to honor you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Thank you, tech team. Digital world, I don't know if you feel the anointing, but we just ask that right now, whatever is stirred up in here today goes through the airwaves, go through any technology that I don't even understand, and this goes right now and goes forth and touches the people everywhere right now. May you feel the anointing and the power of God in that room, in that car, in that place that you are sitting up, standing down. May the anointing of God touch you from the top of the head to the bottom of your feet, and may you know that God is real, He's tangible, and He is here with us, and He's going to do something in your life. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Joshua, would you mind come? Will you put my pulpit on the ground for me, please? I don't know if you've ever seen this guy. He likes to play softball. And when he holds that, man, he looks like a lumberjack about to cut something down. So I always call him Lumberjack. So thank you so much, Lumberjack. Appreciate you. Hallelujah. Lumberjack. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome to First Open Bible here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. My name is Pastor Harrison. I'm the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you joined us this morning for worship. You know, wherever two or more gathered in His name, that's church. You know, Sunday morning we call it church, but really this is just worship because we're together. Everywhere that you go, you can have church because you are the church. Church is not a building, it's a people. Right? Spirit of God is with us wherever we go and whatever we do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, welcome to fall, church. Welcome to fall. Welcome to a new season in 2021. Are you ready for a new season in your life?
Yes.
Five people excited about a new season in their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for a new season of God in your life? I like that. Amen. You want something new in your life this next season? Here's the question. What needs to fall for that to happen? What needs to fall in your life for that new season to come forth? What needs to bow down so you can live with new life in this new season? You might think it's just getting colder out there. And it is. But God's doing a new thing, right? And if you go 90s, God's doing a new thing, right? DC talk when you need them. Hallelujah. Doing a new thing. That's with an A. I want us to, before we go forth in the sermon today, I want us to ask God to do a new thing in our life in this new season. If you want something from God today, let's just assume a position of surrender, which is hands. This is an international sign of surrender. Just raise your hands if you feel comfortable. Father in heaven, we just ask right now, we surrender to you in this new season. We surrender to the new things that you want to do in and out and through our lives. God, we just ask forth for your spirit to lead us, to guide us, to anoint us, to do the things that you've called us to. And we come this morning and we are ready to receive your word that it will not return void as we walk out. We will not forget the things that you've told us, not forget the things that you've stirred us to do, not forget the things that you've commanded us to go forth and do. And God, that you will empower us to do those things because this is for your glory, not ours. We thank you for the new season. We give it to you now in Jesus' mighty name. God's children said, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. September, we're almost to an end here. The theme here at First Open Bible in September, and this is the last one, is resilient faith. And as you leave today, everybody gets a lion. Praise God. Just playing. I'm just playing. That's scary. Resilient faith is addressing the society that we live in where skepticism, hyper-rationalism, corruption, and evil is smothering our beliefs. Now, we're finishing up this series today by addressing cultural discernment. If there's something you want to pray for, church, in your life, I want to encourage you to this. Pray for discernment. Man, this is a time of great confusion, great divide, great anger, great frustrations. But if you have the discernment of God, you will not waver, you will not worry, and you'll be full of faith, and you will walk into the next thing knowing what you know is right. Pray for discernment. God, what do I do and what don't I do? Quit listening to all the noise. Pray for discernment. His Spirit is always speaking, but are you quiet enough in your life to listen? See, the day we're living in, we must develop a strong identity in Christ. We must develop and cultivate a resilient faith. Resilient definition is this, quote, able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions, end quote. Hey, look at that. Praise God. Wednesday nights this month, we've been digging into the book of Daniel. If you've been on a Wednesday night, you've been blessed, say, ooh, ooh. Man, it has been a blessing on Wednesday nights. A blessing. If y'all missing it and you don't have anything going on, come. Come. We have five Wednesdays this month, so we have a typical normal four-teacher rotation, which is phenomenal. But on the fifth one, we have Brent, our worship leader, not only going to teach us about worship, but we're going to also worship together. And then there's a great time of fellowship and talking about things and discipleship at the end for the last half an hour every Wednesday night. It's been awesome. And we've been talking about the book of Daniel and how learning how we can thrive in our Babylon, not just survive. If you haven't been there and you haven't seen it, man, it's all out there on Facebook and on YouTube. Feel free to go. We're recording all of them. As I've been studying resilient faith and the life of Daniel, it's crazy. God has me all over the Bible, and I'm excited what he's been showing me. It's been so good. Habakkuk last week, he's got me in all these different books, and I haven't read in such a long time, and God is just flowing out of things, and I love that God's His word is so alive and active. You know, I'm hungry right now for things of God because there's so many things that I've been eating of the world that I'm starting to get sick and I need something healthy in my life. And maybe you've been eating the wrong kind of meat. Maybe you've been eating the wrong kind of food. You've been eating junk food, sitting on that couch, letting it just feed you. Your eyes are a gateway to your soul, the word says. What you watch and what you listen to goes right to your soul. Maybe you need to get more in the Word than you do ABC, CBS, and Fox News. Man, you got the good news of Jesus, and you got the bad news of our media. You got to counteract some of the stuff. Maybe you're not feeling so hot right now because you've been eating some bad meat. You've been eating some junk. It's great how God will just, the more you eat, the more you crave, right? The more you put in your body, the more you crave. My wife and I went off of sugar a few months ago, lost some weight, and now I love sugar again, and I gained some of the weight back. You crave what you eat. And I love Ruber Floats, and I've been craving them. Man, I could have one every single night right before I go to bed. I could even drink one in my bed. I'd be thankful for that. There's, oh, glory, right? I used to play basketball, now I'm starting to look like one, and that's just not good. It's just not good, right? If I start tanning, I definitely will, because I'll be nice and orange. It'll be weird looking. Praise God. Church, I don't think you know. I don't think you know just how important you are to the ones around you. I don't think you really, really know. I don't gamble, but I'd put money on it somehow that you don't exactly quite know just how important you are to the ones around you every single day, even the ones around you right now, even at home. I don't think you understand how important you are to the ones around you. I don't think you do. When we think about our own lives and all the chaos that surrounds us, it's tough to imagine ourselves as heroes. But your life doesn't have to be in perfect order to make an impact. In fact, heroes embrace life as it is and allow God to use their circumstances to bring change to them and change to the ones that are around them. Today, you might want to get some notes out because this is a straight message from God to you. Nobody's taking notes out. Praise God. I'm telling you, you want to write some down. Pray. Note takers, put them up. Note takers or what? I'm telling you, today God has something incredible for you. I don't want you to walk out and forget what God has for you. And you can look at the studies if you want. If you listen to one thing, there's a certain percentage that you remember. If you listen and write it down, there's a greater percent. If you listen, write it down, and then repeat it, it's even greater that you will remember it. Trust me, that's the only way through I got through college, junior high, high school, is I had to just grind on that. I had to try to remember. So if you write things down, I'm telling you today, God has a word for you. It's an encouraging and empowering, powerful word for you today. See, in fact, heroes, they embrace life as it is right now, and they allow God to use the circumstances to bring change to them and change to the ones around them, just like Daniel did. Just like Daniel did. The Old Testament story of Daniel is a story of God's glory and God's provision for his people. Daniel was first and foremost a servant of God, a prophet who set an example to God's people how to live a holy life in an unholy country. Daniel survived the lion's den because of his resilient faith. Daniel also predicted the future triumph of a messianic kingdom, and Daniel never let fear overtake his faith. Praise God. But Daniel, he had it bad. He had it really bad. Do you remember that story, or do you only remember the lion's den? He was ripped from his family, his people, his culture, and his religion. He was forced to do things that were directly against his beliefs. All he had left was his faith. And he always remained faithful to God through it all. Imagine being stripped of everything you know, everything you understand, any and everybody you've ever been around. Your childhood stripped, everything gone, everything you believe, what would you hang on to? See, Daniel understood that God is with us in our trials and doesn't always deliver us from them. We often highlight the lion's den, but we must not neglect Daniel's devastation and unimaginable heartache he lived with. Now, Daniel wrote his book. Come on now, this will preach. Daniel wrote his book, but how oftentimes do you hear about how discouraged, how downtrodden he was, how awful he felt, how everyone around him was, everything was falling apart, and he just sulked in that. Now, you don't write a book, but you do speak every single day. It's not like he denied it. You read about how bad it was. You know, because he told us. See, it's easy to see how Daniel was a hero after the fact, right? But what I love about the story of Daniel is when you read it in detail, is you get perspective in the moment. Things are really bad for God's people. Really bad for God's people. Things were piling up against them over and over and over again. There was devastation, disaster, chaos, frustration, abandonment issues, and fear. See, Daniel won in some areas of his life, but he also lost in many other areas of his life. But this man survived, and he thrived. He didn't just stay in survival mode. He thrived. He had a pure heart and he lived in humility through his integrity. He recognized God's sovereign hand was on him through it all. Daniel's circumstances didn't determine his outcome. his resilient faith did. He knew God was in control. He knew that he had to stick to his faith. Right? Daniel knew, I have to stick to my faith or I might lose everything. And I might lead others down a path of despair instead of leading them down a path of hope. There's no place for fear in a life led by faith. Daniel and his three Hebrew friends are not the norm when it comes to how God will deliver you from such extreme circumstances. I pray that most of you never have to go into a fiery furnace so hot that it burns the people alive that put you in it. But Daniel and his three Hebrew friends, what they do give us is examples of what it looks like to be a hero in the faith. All of God's children, all, everybody who's hearing my voice, if you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. You have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. You have been grafted in the Abraham seed. You've been grafted in to all the promises of God because of what Jesus Christ did for us. If you are a child of God, every single one is called to live from the inside out. See, let me tell you something. Bad things do happen to good people. But people with resilient faith are God's heroes. Psalm 16:3 says this, "The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them." The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. You know what we need in this country? You know what we need in this country? No, Pastor, tell me. You know what we need in this country? No, nobody's going to ask me? Okay. Pastor, tell me. We need less idols and more heroes. You gave it away. Josh is literally just outed Samuel. I mean, just straight like this. Don't you jump in front of me. Josh, way to lead up there, buddy. Way to lead. That guy, he's falling. I'm not going with him. I'm not there. I didn't do it. Who wrote it, though, Josh? You wrote it. He pressed the button. I know. Samuel, we appreciate you. But don't get ahead of me. Thank you. You're killing me, bro. I'm making a point. You know what we need in this country? We need less idols and more heroes. Woo! How'd y'all know that? Now it's not even up there. What? What's going on up there? I need a clicker. Praise God. There it is. Wow. We need less idols and more heroes. We need less LeBron Jameses and Kim Kardashians and more Martin Luther King Jr.'s and Catherine Coleman's. I believe people are getting tired of just looking up to idols, and they're becoming more desperate to follow heroes. A hero is a real person. This is the definition of a hero. It's a real person who, in the face of danger, combats adversity through feats of ingenuity, courage, or strength. A hero is a real person who, in the face of danger, combats adversity through feats of ingenuity, courage, or strength. People with resilient faith are godly heroes. Recognized or not, they are heroes of the faith we look to when things get hard. They are examples of a remnant of hope in the days that we live in. They're a reminder that God is still in control. And even an evil doesn't always have its way, even though sometimes we feel like it does. Now, this is for everybody in here. You don't have to be talented to be a hero of God. Sam is going to tell you why. See, God works through your simple faith and your simple obedience. Anybody can be a hero of God if you have faith and obedience. You don't got to be talented. He's still doing that today with his resilient faithful. Do you want to know how to be a hero in the faith, church? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Praise God. Okay. Do you want to know how to be a hero in the faith?
Yes.
Now, here's a real question. It's great to know, but do you believe you can be a hero in the faith for other people to follow?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Okay. I've titled today's message, Hero of God. Now, y'all, you just took a ton of notes today. This is awesome. Good job, Josh. That's why you were here so much this week, weren't you, Josh? That's what you were doing. You don't want to point at Samuel right now, do you? No, I didn't think so. He's not his head. He's taking this one. Yeah, that was me. That was me. That was me. Yeah, crazy. Okay. You don't even have a collar in his pocket. Oh, he just took me off. I see what you did. Now, Jay's pointing at Josh. It's a hot mess up there. My goodness. It's a hot mess. We're looking for more people to work in the sound booth next week. Please come see me after service. Praise God. Volunteers, come forth in the name of Jesus. Now, the Bible talks about biblical heroes. Almost all of them were ordinary men and women just like we are. Many of them even had really troubled pasts. Really bad. And they felt unworthy for God to even use them. God, why would you even talk to me? Why would you even use me? In spite of it all, here I am, Lord. Use me. I will follow you. But it was incredible, the acts and the feats they were a part of. People had been reading and telling of their stories for centuries now. Usually, amazing things don't come from easy circumstances, right? You want your life easy. Well, guess what? You want your life easy. Most often, there's nothing going to be real amazing in your life. Typically, the more it costs and the harder it is, the more powerful the results will be. Some of these heroes of the faith went through horrible things. And they had to give up so much, so many times. And many heroes of the faith even had to give up their own lives. What would possess a person to live like that? I have four, if you're taking notes, four simple things this morning of what makes a hero of God. What makes a hero of God? Four things. Number one thing that makes a hero of God is resilient faith. Bro, you did it again. I'll say it, then you press the button, okay? I say it, you press the button. Don't get ahead of me. Number one thing is resilient faith. Heroes have resilient and tremendous faith in God. They have resilient love for God through their faith in him. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith it's impossible. Church, say impossible. It is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Biblical heroes we read about, like Daniel, were heroes because of their great faith. It is impossible to please God without it. Now, if something is affecting your faith other than God, then your faith is found in something other than God. Let me say that again. If something is affecting your faith other than God, then your faith is found in something other than God. Having resilient faith means we trust God fully. Even when we don't understand why these events are occurring or when they actually occur, faithful heroes continue to praise God because he is God and we are not. I believe God is still using faithful heroes today. I believe some of those heroes are hearing this sermon right now. I believe it. I truly believe it. Even if you don't see it yet, God is making a way. Even if you will never be written about in a book, God is making a way. He's working through your faith in Him. Just hold on, keep the faith, keep leading others, and rely on your faith in God. See, heroes are full of faith, not fear. Heroes are full of faith, not fear. Heroes are led by faith, not feelings. Heroes are full of faith, not fear, and heroes are led by faith, not feelings. So number one, heroes first have a resilient and tremendous faith in God. Amen? Number two, being a hero is birthed from sacrifice. All heroes make sacrifices. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says this, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord." Moses gave up a comfortable life as a shepherd to lead a bunch of rebellious, hurtful, grumpy people through the desert for 40 years. Gideon left the safety of his hideout to face an army of 120,000 men with just 300. Abraham left the home he grew up in to follow God to a new and a very strange place. Daniel prayed by opening his window after an evil mandate was put in place, even though he knew if he did that, it would cost his life. And Jesus Christ took a horrible beating and laid on a cross for all of mankind. Before God can use you, you have to sacrifice your will to do His. The very idea of a hero is to forget about self and ignore your desires for the good of others. You serve one another, even serving the ones that don't deserve to be served. That's a hero. I've said it before, Jesus, oftentimes you don't hear about, but the hero died for the villain. That's the story of Jesus. The hero died for the villain. John 15, 13 says this, There is no greater love than to lay down one's lives for one's friends. And we know that you can transfer that word friends into also enemies, because Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. If somebody wants you to go 1 mile, you go two. If somebody wants your cloak, give them your shoes, give them a belt, give them all of it, right? Just don't be naked, because that's messed up. But give them whatever you can, so you don't get a charge for indecent exposure, but you give them more than they ask for. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, enemies, or anybody. See, we make sacrifices for ourselves all the time. That'll preach. We make sacrifices for ourselves all the time, but a hero sacrifice is always an expression of love for others. A hero sacrifice is always an expression of love for other people. Moms and dads, can I get an amen? Moms, dads, grandparents, you are a hero to those kids. And to your family, you are a hero. See, this is when we're heroes. When we obey God in these simple things right here, we work hard. We love our loved ones. We feed our children. We volunteer in ministry, and we worship Jesus. See, to the world, those tasks may seem mundane and meaningless, but to God, this is the very foundation of your obedience and your trust in Him. See, that's where it all starts. That's where it starts. And then God, then God, then God, then God opens up countless opportunities for sacrifice for other people and to see the kingdom of God advance through your life. When you live by faith and sacrifice yourself, you're going to do what no one else will do. Did you hear me? When you live by faith and you sacrifice yourself, you're going to do what other people will never do. And through that, God is going to be glorified. So godly heroes, one, have resilient faith. And number two, they make sacrifices. Amen? Number three, heroes stand alone for what is right. They do what God says is right. Heroes stand alone for what is right. They do what God says is right. Exodus 23:2, the first part of that verse says, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and it's perfect. Psalm 44 says this, oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or those who worship idols. Being a hero for God is not a comfortable thing to do. It is not comfortable because heroes almost never go with the crowds. Oftentimes, heroes go against them. They always do what's right in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man. And they follow their godly convictions to the very end. Heroes always listen to truth. So I want to ask you something. Heroes always listen to truth. Who are you surrounding yourself around? Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? Do they tell you the truth? You know, the best friend is one that will tell you the truth. Not something that you want to hear, but tell you the truth. That's a good friend. A weak friend just tells you what you want to hear. That's not a good friend. To know the right thing to do, you have to recognize the counterfeit. So what's the Bible say about that? Think about something you're dealing with right now. Something that you're just going back and forth. I can't make this decision quite yet. What's the Bible say about that? Well then, go and do that, because everything else is counterfeit. Everything else is noise. God's word is the truth. Psalm 106:3 says, there is joy for those who deal justly with others. And what's that next word? What is it? And always do what is right. Heroes make decisions not only for themselves, but for the ones that they're sacrificing for. Even if the ones that they're sacrificing for don't quite understand at the time, you make the right choice, even if other people don't get it. Now, heroes, they pray to God. They pray to God for three things. They pray to God for courage to stand up for what is right, for faith to do what is right, and they pray for strength to get through what is right. Let me say that again. Heroes pray to God for this, for courage to stand up for what is right, for faith to do what is right, and for strength to get through what is right. Stand up, do it, and get through it. Now, Billy Graham, here's a quote from him. I love this. Says this, quote, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others often are stiffened, end quote. Now think about this for a second. We wouldn't even have the gospel of Jesus Christ if it weren't for a ragtag, faithful group of followers of Christ willing to stand against the crowds and do what is right no matter the cost. Every single disciple of Christ died. One was secluded. He eventually died on an island all by himself. They were willing to give it all, stand against the crowd, and preach the truth. You see, persecution, not appeasement, is what spreads the gospel of Jesus Christ by heroes of the faith. Persecution, not appeasement. So godly heroes what? Number one, they have resilient faith. Number two, make sacrifices. And number three, they do what God says is right. Now the last one, number four, is this. The last thing a godly hero does is they take risks for God. They take risks for God. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27 says this. This is Paul speaking. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I've worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I've faced death again and again. Five times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from the rivers and the robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, in the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and I've gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep warm. There is no place for fear in a life of faith. Heroes of God take risks for God. They don't always know what's going to happen. That's why it's a risk. They don't always know what's going to happen, but they do know that God is with them. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know my God goes before me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know my God is with me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know my God is leading me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know my God has anointed me. I don't know what's going to happen, but God is with me, and who can be against me if my God is with me? There ain't nobody, nothing in this world that can come against me if my God is for me, and I'm going to go for with him. I have to take a risk for God. Heroes of the faith are not afraid to take a risk for God, any size of risk. Small or large, they are all in. They're not afraid to ask that servant, can I pray for you? I'm going to pray for my meal in just a moment. Can I pray for you? Let me tell you, time and time again, it's so simple. We do it all the time, and God always says something. He always does something, and he always comes through. It even happened again this week on Friday. It just always happens. You have to take a risk. Have to. I'm going to ask you, is there something that God has been putting on your heart that you have not yet done for him because of fear? Simple, small. Some of y'all, before you get out of this, before you leave today, you got to get on the phone and you got to call that person. You know who I'm talking about. It's already checking your, you got to call them and tell them about the love of God. You got to call them and say, will you forgive me? I got to do this because I need to reconcile that relationship. You know who you've been thinking of, and you've been too afraid about what's going to happen if you say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and you've been afraid. You got to get on the phone before you leave this congregation today. You got to call them. Some of y'all got to step out in faith. Too many people in a boat. Too many people in a boat. Yeah, the storm is raging. The storm is going, but who's going to step out of that boat? The faithful. Take a risk for God. Here's what's cool. I love this. In God's word, oftentimes we lose this, and I think we've lost it even worse because of COVID, because we've been afraid of whatever. But we forget how mighty we are together. You forget how important it is to lean on one another. You forget how important it is to call one another, be in each other's presence. Go over to somebody's house. Bring somebody to your house. Talk about the things of the Lord. Pick up the phone and say, I need some prayer today. I need you to step with me in this. I'm about to do something crazy, and I need another brother or sister to say, you can do it, and encourage me, right? Take a risk for God. Tell somebody. Tell somebody about it. You need two things when you tell somebody about it. Here's a word that we don't like: accountability. If you're going to say that you're going to do it and you don't do it, a good friend says, "What is going on? You're being weak, not full of faith." That's a good friend. What do you need so you can do it? You want me to go with you? I'll go with you. That's a good friend. You need two things to take a risk for God. You need accountability if you want somebody to come with you, and you need encouragement. Tell somebody, "I'm about to do something crazy for God. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I know that God told me to do it. I have no answers right now. You got to help me. You are my friend. Pray for me right now." Right? And then what are you going to do? You got to pray for that person. Because when you do that, through courage and humility, the kingdom of God advances. Through courage and humility. Humility is not saying, and we learned this on Wednesday, it was awesome. There she is. Miss K, phenomenal teaching. Man, I learned so much. It's not thinking less of yourself. Hey, yeah, we can do it. Praise God. I mean, it's about humility. It's not thinking less about yourself. It's thinking less of yourself. It's okay to be confident in the way that God made you as long as you give God the glory and not yourself. That's humility. It's not to always say, "Oh, please don't tell me anything, blah, blah, blah." Humility is giving glory back to God. You should be full of all kinds of amazing things and see God's kingdom advance. You have influence in your life. You have talents and treasures that you need to use for God. And through humility, you give him glory, not somebody else glory. You don't give yourself glory. That's humility. How many people do we read about that they were full of just annoying? I mean, they were so humble. Think about Moses. He was so humble. But was he always behind scenes and never did it? The guy was in front, and sometimes he couldn't speak, so Aaron would speak for him. But he stood there with a staff. He fought for things. He went up. He brought all kinds. And he was full of boldness and strength, but he was the most humble, the word says, man alive, ever to live. Your courage and your humility, which means if something great happens, just say glory to God, right? See, I love it when you watch sports. I love it when you watch an actor or an actress and something amazing happens and they use their talent and they say, "Hey, what do you have to say?" And the first thing they say is say, "I give glory to Jesus." I mean, that's just like, boo, right? Like we talked about this week, I think of like Tim Tebow. That guy was so fired up. I don't know if you remember, he lost a game, and he got in front of his whole team, and he was screaming and yelling. He says, "Get on my back. I'll carry you through. We're going to do this." And they went on to win the national championship. He wasn't shy to get in front of anybody. He wasn't shy. He was full of super courage and strength. And the first thing out of his mouth is he gives glory to Jesus Christ for giving him strength to go through. Right? He was humble in that. So you need courage and humility, because when you do that in your life, the kingdom of God advances. Jesus said this in Mark 8:35. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Praise God. No risk, no reward. You heard that before, right? No risk, no reward. No eternal risk, no eternal reward. It's that simple. You haven't taken an eternal risk for how long? Well, you might not get an eternal reward. You can't take anything with you, but there's treasure in heaven waiting for you. I want to be doing everything God has for my life over and over again, where I got to do some like Holy Spirit neck muscles so one day when I get a crown or something gets put on I can hold it because it has so many gems on there, right? I'm going to have a new body. That's what the word says, and I'll probably have like an 8-pack. It'll be so cool. I know there's muscles down there. I know it. I saw them when I was younger. They've disappeared. I'm searching. Got to leave the 99 and find the one. One muscle. I'm just looking for one, Lord Jesus. No risk, no reward. No eternal risk, no eternal reward. It's that simple. Now, a person is known for 5 things in their lifetime. 5 things you're known for. Oh, don't give them all away, please. That's literally everything I'm about to say. Just, can you get rid of that? Get back. Thank you. Five things people are known for in their lifetime. They're known for their character. That's who or she is. Who he or she is. They're known for their character. They're known for their conduct. That's what he or she does. They're known for their conversation. That's what he or she says. They're known for their creed. That's what he or she believes. And then number five, they're known for their contribution. That's what he or she gives. They're known for character, conduct, conversation, creed, and contribution. They're known for who they are, what they do, what they say, what they believe, and what they give. Are you a giver? I don't know how you could be a follower of Christ without being a giver. Jesus gave it all. A servant is a giver. Don't get stuck in the word Christian, because Christian is little Christ. If you think just a Christian's come into church, it's not. It's a servant of God. It's an ambassador for Christ. It's one that lays down their cross every day, sacrifices for other people, full of faith, full of love, and takes risks for God. That's who a Christian is. The great need of our hour is this: faithful heroes of God. The great need of our hour is faithful heroes of God. What's a hero? A real person who, in the face of danger, combats adversity through feats of ingenuity, courage, or strength. We need men and women that are known for their character, conduct, conversation, creed, and contribution. Now, church life isn't easy. Can I get an amen? Life is not easy. Many of the people that are older than I, multiple of them have told me, "Pastor, I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how you're, this is the craziest time in my entire life. I've never seen this kind of things." And you can think of that two ways. You can think, man, it really is bad. It really, really is bad. This is an insane time. Nobody alive right now can remember such a crazy time. So here's another thing I want you to think about. God loves you enough. He must see something in you you don't see. That he would say, for such a time as this, you're alive. You're not only alive, you're filled with his Spirit. You're not only filled with his Spirit, you're the church to advance the kingdom of God. There's two ways to look at this. You might say it's just a hot mess. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. It's bad. Then ask God, well, what do you want me to do about it? You can sit and talk about it, or you can be a doer. You can be a talker or a doer. There's not a lot of talkers. There's not a lot of talkers that we read about in the heroes of faith. Even the prophets were talking, but they were talking as they stepped out. They were stepping out like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm going to get killed, but I got a word from the Lord. I'm anointed with his presence. I'm anointed with his power, but I got a word from the Lord. I got something from God. I'm going to step out of the boat and I'm going to do something." Then you got the judges. A lot of them didn't just talk. They just straight beat some things up. They just like took over. And they're like, "I'm going to kill everything. Even the cattle, right? I'm going to just destroy it all." See, God is using different things. If you look in the Bible, there is a phases of how God works. And what phase are we in? We're in the last phase. The last phase before he comes back for a spotless, which we're not spotless, with no wrinkles. We got wrinkles. My wife reminded me the other day when I smiled, I had some sort of weird wrinkle over by my ear. Thank you. Thank you, honey. That's fantastic. I don't even want to smile right now. Y'all going to look at it like, "Oh, what happened?" See, my ears move. It's weird. Man, we're supposed to not have spot, wrinkle, or any kind of blemish. Jesus is coming back for that kind of church. So what do we got to do? What do we got to do? There are phases that God works in amazing ways. He's using all kinds of people. You know, he's got Adam and Eve, he's got Noah, he's got the judges, he's got the prophets, and now we're in the age of grace, and the age of grace is filled with the Holy Ghost because they were endued with power from on high, and we are Pentecostals, and we believe it is still for today. We don't think they just did 120, and then God said, I don't know if anybody else should be filled with the Holy Ghost anymore. Those people are dead. Why would God just say, hey, the 120, the 500 showed up, 120, and it's done? No. We're in the age of grace. We're in the age of the church. God works now through his people and that are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. That is how it happens. That is how it works. There are people with resilient faith that go out and speak. We wouldn't have one other nation right now if knowing anything about Jesus if we didn't have people like missionaries. You think missionaries go in their own power? No, they go in the power and the anointing of God. And they go into places we wouldn't even dream about. But guess what? America's getting dark. And that's exciting to me because I'm a person of the light. Man, I don't have to. When I grew up as a kid, everybody went to church. Like, it's what you did. And a lot of times, I have to get my head off it because I get discouraged how many people don't show up. If you show up to church one time out of the month, you're considered a normal, regular attender. That blows my mind. Blows my mind, right? You're a regular attender. What if you showed up one time to work a week? You're not a regular employee, right? Anyway, it's just weird. But that's a fact that's going on right now. One time a month you show up, right? And that's what we did. What I'm encouraged about is that God is doing something. There is so many people in America have never even heard the name Jesus. We got people flooding in from Haiti right now. Afghanistan, other countries. You know Mexico is just flooding in right now. It's crazy coming in. Now, a lot of them know about Jesus, but the Jesus that they know about is still on a cross, if you know what I'm saying. Catholic religion, they don't know about the freedom of the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look, every influence that you have in your life, you have an opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to take a risk, be full of faith, and to step out in courage to get out of where you are and say, I got to say something. I got to do something. I got to sacrifice my will, right? I want to go to lunch today, but instead of going to lunch today, I'm going to minister to that person because I saw them crying earlier or whatever. You're at work and you're going to step out and talk to the meanest person, the most rude, the most cussing person that cusses all the time. Like you're like, do you even know a normal sentence kind of person? And you're going to step out and one of these days, God's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit and you're going to get less of you and more of God. And you're going to say, you know what? I know you're going through something. And because God just told me, all I want to say today is Jesus loves you. And they might cuss you out, but let me tell you, you walk away and there's a seed. You're not in charge of the harvest. You're in charge of the seeds and the watering. See, now I'm preaching. The seeds and the water. We just want harvest after harvest. Man, I haven't seen, there have been some people. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? 90% of people who show up to church for the first time were invited and they were probably picked up and they might have drove in the same car. When is the last time you invited somebody to church to hear the good news? We just expect for these doors to flood open and people to come in. You are called to infiltrate. Is that the right word? Infiltrate. You're called to step in, okay? Jesus did most of his ministry in the synagogue. Truth or not truth? Not true. Jesus did most of his ministry in the marketplace. Marketplace is a representation of everywhere that people were. Sinners everywhere. Man, are you too holy to talk to a sinner? You're not holy enough. Because that is not what Jesus did. That is not who Jesus is. That's nothing to do with being a Christian. If you haven't shared your faith in the last week, 2 weeks, month, you got to get on your knees and say, God, I am not full of resilient faith. I am too proud in my own whatever. See, God is shaking the church. He is shaking the church. And whatever's not on firm foundation is falling off. It's falling off right now. You are not an attender. You are not an attender. You are part of the greatest, most powerful thing on earth. You are part of the church. full of the Holy Ghost, to do the things that he's called you to. You don't have to be some preacher like me. You think I did this from the very beginning? No. God saw that I was faithful in the little. God saw, see, you can't be promoted. You can't go higher until you're good and being lower. You got to do the little things. And God keeps teaching me all the time, to just keep giving it to him. A little thing. Maybe start with your family. Maybe start with somebody today before you leave. If you can't do it here, you ain't going to do it out there. We got to be people of God's word, speaking truth, full of his boldness, and take a risk. You are not promised tomorrow. What if God has something incredible through your life today that he wants to use you? Life is not easy, but that doesn't mean you can't be a faithful hero in it. Each trial that you go through prepares you for the next battle you're going to have to walk through. See, God's more interested in your holiness than he is your happiness. Let that sink in. The prosperity gospel is struggling with that, but it's true. God is more interested in your holiness than your happiness. You know why you're blessed? To be a blessing. Don't be a hoarder. Some of y'all got to throw some stuff away in your house. You know what I'm saying? Quit, right? We call it, a nice word is a collector. You're a collector. No, dude, that's straight trash. Just throw it away. That's nasty. You're holding on to things that you can't keep with you when you die. You cannot take that with you. Get rid of it. God is looking for you to be emptied out so he can fill you again. God is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for holiness, not happiness. He's looking to bless you because he can trust you to bless other people. That's why he wants to bless you. God wants the greatest things. He wants you to be the most prosperous people in the world because you know what to do with prosperity. Prosperity is not against the Bible. It's in the Bible. We should be blessed above and not beneath. We should be the head and not the tail. We should be these things, but not for our own gain, but for God's glory. Maybe it's time that you make a list right now of your struggles that you're going through and thank God for them. Ooh, God's kingdom's an upside down kingdom. Let me say that again. I'm finishing right here. I got like a few more things to say. Maybe it's time you make a list of the struggles you're going through and thank God for them. Because these are opportunities for you to grow into the hero that God knows you are. God constantly demonstrated his glory through Daniel, making his name known among the people of Babylon, showing that God is ultimately in control. You can do that too. You can show everyone around you that God is in control in how you deal with your own life, what comes out of your mouth, what you speak, the risks that you take, the faithfulness that you... I mean, too many people are speaking death. You need to speak life. You say, well, I'm just a realist. No, you're not speaking God's truth. You're not a realist because the realist says that God has better ways and greater things. Every once in a while, you got to prophesy instead of being a realist. You know what? Why people don't want to be around you? Because you're always grumpy and you think you're a realist. No, you're a drag to be around. Because all you do is talk about the negative. But God's kingdom people are not negative people. They realize that they're going through things and they speak faith. They speak life. They speak the things as if they should be, not as they are. They step forward in risks and they say, God, I know you're doing something. Do it through me. I'm struggling. I need your strength. That's okay. You can do this. You can be a godly hero. You can be someone that everyone is desperate to follow because you have a resurrection power living in you. It's time to let it out, let it shine, and let it lead your life. Christians, that you say amen. Amen. Christians who have, one, resilient faith, 2, make sacrifices. 3, do what God says is right. And 4, take risks. Those Christians, they're heroes. I pray you never underestimate what God wants to do through your life again. Will you stand? Worship team, will you come? Thank you, Father. There's more, church. There's more. There is more. There is more. There is more. Do not settle. Do not settle. There is more. There is more. Well, I can't do it. Yeah, that's a great thing. That's a great, I used to puke every time before I preached because I was so afraid. Every single sermon ever, I still don't eat before I preach, just in case. You got to step out of your own comfort zone and allow the Spirit of God to use you. What do you have faith in? I want to pray for you. I'm gonna ask God to give you more faith in him than you have faith in yourself. See, that's really where it all falls. The reason why you're not doing the things God is calling you to is because you believe in yourself more than you believe in God, or you believe in the things of this world greater than the things that are to come. But God this morning is reminding you, first and foremost, will you look at me, church? He loves you. God loves you. He loves you so much. Literally, he gave the greatest love, which is sacrifice his son. He loves you so much, but here's something else. He's proud of you. He's proud of you. If he can call a man who's in a barrel hiding, come out, man of valor, mighty man of valor, who hasn't even done anything yet miraculous, hiding from people, he's reminding you this morning, you can do it. Not only can you do it, but God has a purpose and a plan for your life to go out and do the great things of God, to be his church that he died for, be the church he's coming back for. He's proud of you. You might not totally understand it now, but it's always in the little things. Little. Give him a little bit more today than you did yesterday. Give him a little bit more tomorrow than you did today. Keep on, keep on. Give God your resilient faith. Be a hero in the faith. Step out of the boat because God has amazing things. And when you get glory or somebody says something amazing, give it back to God in humility. No. I couldn't do this. It's the God in me. The only thing good in me is the Jesus that lives inside of me. But I'm going to do everything I can because of my personality, my talents, my treasures, whatever influence I have, I'm going to do it for the kingdom of God. And when something amazing happens, I will give glory to God for it because I know he's working through me, exactly why I'm alive. It's why I'm alive. Father, I just lift up each and every person that heard this sermon, each and every person that is influenced right now. I just pray for the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit to just shower over them. I pray for fire, God. Come right now. Fill them. Fire, come right now. Unquenchable fire. It says in your word that you're an all-consuming fire. Consume all the fear, all the doubt. Consume all the things that you have been working on them with for so many years. God, I even lift myself up. I put myself in these situations. God, I ask that today, before I lay my head down at night, before anybody lays their head down at night today, you give us an opportunity. God, give us an opportunity. God, give us an opportunity. We ask for one more chance to prove that we can be heroes for you, that we can be heroes of the faith, that we can step forth and do what you've called us. Give us a chance, God, small, medium, or large. You just give us the opportunity. And I promise, God, with your strength, because we can't do it on our own, with your strength, we will do something mighty for you, the King of glory. We love you. We thank you. And we just thank you for this word. In Jesus' mighty name, God's people said, amen. Go change the world. The world changer lives in you.